Welcome to the Heart-Centered Horsemanship Academy podcast. This is Kimberly Horman, and today on episode 17 of season 2, we're going to be getting into great detail about the biomechanics of a horse's walk. The walk is a 4-beat gait with 8 different movements. It's also the slowest of the horse's gaits. We're going to be looking at the qualities of a good walk, the benefits of walking, a few things to look for in dressage, and an overall review of what's actually happening underneath the saddle as your horse is walking. So let's get right into it. Now, as riders, it's really important to understand what's actually happening in the horse during different gaits. It gives us an idea of why the saddle moves the way it does, and it gives us just an indication of a few things that we can look out for if things don't feel normal. So I'd like to start by talking about the 8 different movements that make up that 4-beat walk. So as we go through this cycle, it's just important to think about it that it's not going to take that long when you're actually riding your horse, because it's a 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 rhythm. So each 4 beats is one stride. So in those 4 beats, what's actually happening here? We've got the left hind, left fore, and right hind creating a hind triple stance. After that, we have 2 diagonal legs that come together, the right hind and left fore, which is called the right diagonal double stance. Moving on from that, we have the left fore, right hind, and right fore coming together to create the 4 triple stance. Next, we have the 2 right lateral legs, the right hind and right fore, creating a right lateral double stance, followed by the left hind, and right fore coming together to create another hind triple stance. Next, we have 2 diagonal legs coming together, the left hind and right fore, creating the left diagonal double stance. The right fore, left hind, and left fore coming together to create the 4 triple stance. And the 2 left lateral legs, left hind and left fore, creating a left lateral double stance. All right, so as that forelimb comes forward, it's moving forward by 2 main groups of muscles, the biceps and the brachialis. Now the biceps run from the scapula to the radius, and the brachialis runs from the humerus to the radius. Now as that limb comes forward, it's actually pulled forward by the combined action of the brachiocephalicus muscle running from the atlas vertebra to the humerus, which is pulling the humerus forward. It's also using the combined action of the serratus ventralis, or thoracic muscle, which runs from the scapula to the ribs and pulls the scapula down and backwards. It's important to keep in mind that the lower leg of the horse actually doesn't have any muscle. So in order to lift the foot, we have flexors at the back of the knee contracting to flex the knee in the digital joints. As that knee moves forward and upwards, the foot is lifted off of the ground. Now that leg is being suspended from the withers by the dorsal scapular ligaments and the trapezius muscle. Now there's a few variables when it comes to your horse's knee action. So heavy shoes or long toes will actually increase the amount of folding that the knee is doing. As the forelimb returns to the ground, it has to be straightened again. So first, the shoulder is straightened by a muscle called the supraspinatus muscle, and that runs from the scapula down to the humerus. The triceps is responsible for straightening the elbow, and the lower leg, which includes the knee, fetlock, pastern, and coffin joints, that's all straightened by the carpal and digital extensor muscles. Now that that limb is planted on the ground, the hoof actually acts as a pivot. So now the body is moving forward and the foot is just driving it along. Now, there's quite a big difference between the forelimb and the hind limb because there's actually a direct connection from the pelvis to the vertebral column. So initially, that hind limb comes forward through flexion of the hip joint. And then it carries the femur and stifle forward. And during this movement, the stifle also flexes. Now remember, the stifle of your horse is like your horse's knee, and the hock joint is like your horse's ankle. So now once that stifle flexes, that in turn flexes the hock. Next, the gluteal muscles, which give your horse's hindquarters that nice rounded shape, and then the biceps femoris, which lies below them, are responsible for extending the hip joint. Now the semitendinous flexes the stifle, and then the hock is actually flexed through the action of the peroneus tertius muscle. When we look at contraction, the tibialis anterior muscle contributes to hock and stifle flexion. Once that leg has tracked up, the stifle is extended by the quadriceps femoris group of muscles, and at the same time, the horse's hock extends through what's called a reciprocal mechanism of the tendinous superficial flexor and the tendinous cord in the gastrocnemius muscle. So once the hind leg hits the ground, it's locked into position. So what happens then is muscles pull that rigid limb backwards, and it really stabilizes the stifle and hip joints. The limb then turns on the head of the femur, which extends the hip joint. When the limb approaches the vertical, the stifle and hock flex a little bit, and then the fetlock sinks, and that just aids the shock absorption of your horse's movement. Now, once the limb passes the vertical line, the rump and hamstring muscles will actually extend the hip, stifle, and hock. The semitendinosus lies to the rear of the horse's gluteal muscles, and it's separated by a groove, which is known as the poverty line. It becomes very distinct in skinnier horses. All right, now as soon as that hoof leaves the ground, there's an elastic rebound of the peroneus tertius and tibialis anterior system, and it returns the hock to semiflexion so that the limb is then ready to be brought forwards in the next portion of the walk. So now let's just briefly touch on impulsion. If we have too little impulsion, it's common to see your horse dragging those hind legs, dragging the toes. It's more common in the hind legs than the front legs to see that toe dragging, but that's a big indication that you need a bit more impulsion in your walk. To the contrary, if we have too much impulsion, then the horse almost looks like they're chasing their own feet, just trying to hurry up and keep them together. So in that case, it's common to see unevenly sized steps and a loss of rhythm. And when we lose rhythm, it's really difficult to continue up the training scale. So that is a major thing that we're going to need to fix. Another thing you might see is that two-time or lateral walk, which can be really, really difficult to correct. And there's a lot of benefits of walking. So the horse is using a lot of muscles when they're walking, but they're not putting them under great stress. So the muscles are contracting and relaxing regularly, and that really encourages good circulation and irrigation in the blood, which is really important in order to keep your horse healthy. With an active walk, your horse's back is pulsating and it's swinging, which also helps to remove tension and bunching up. So it really is a nice relaxation exercise between bouts of more strenuous exercise. So always remember to give your horse adequate amounts of walking breaks in between those more high stress activities. All right, so us dressage riders, we're going to know that there's four variations of the walk. There's the free walk, the extended walk, medium walk, and collected walk. Now, just as a frame of reference, in the medium walk, your horse is traveling at about 100 to 110 meters a minute, and their stride length is about 1.65 meters for an average horse. As we look at a collected walk, the sequence of the steps are going to stay the same. However, the horse is going to move with a bit more of a shortened stride. And it's very common for your horse to lose regularity in the walk as more collection is asked for, so make sure you're not asking for too much too soon. All right, now sometimes a horse with longer legs and a shorter back, they'll actually show what's called overtracking. And this is when the hind foot contacts the ground in front of where the forefoot is going to land on that same side. So as the stride length increases, the forefoot has to be raised relatively early in the stride to avoid that catching by the hind foot. If that catching does happen, then it's called overreaching. So basically, as the speed of the walk is increasing, there's less time for the forelimb to get out of the way. And then we get into that forging or overreaching when the hind shoe actually strikes the toe of the front shoe. It's a very characteristic noise. Okay, well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming to listen today. I know this really wasn't a rider-related podcast, as many of you are used to hearing from me. However, I am in the London College of Animal Osteopathy, training to become an equine osteopath. So this biomechanics stuff is really important to me. It's at the forefront of my mind right now, so I just really wanted to share some of it with you. I'd like to do another one of these episodes about trotting, cantering, galloping, and jumping, and maybe even one about rolling and shaking, and just kind of what goes into all of those movements, as it does help us understand what's going on under saddle as we're riding, so it's not completely unrelated. If you have any questions, feedback, or concerns, feel free to visit my website, heartcenteredhorsemanshipacademy.com, and you can contact me from there. As always, make sure your next ride is a confident, happy, and harmonious one, and I'll talk with you all soon. Take care.